I believe so. I just hit the record button.
Okay, we'll come back into session. Eldorado, did you have anything else to briefly?
Sorry, very briefly. I think it's important because I believe that Dr. Horn's question wasn't adequately answered. And that's what I want to address. We're talking about delaying the process of adoption of this permit until we get some further answers to particular processes. You heard our staff say, and I'm probably going to bring them back in because I don't want to open my mouth and insert my foot trying to talk technical jargon about something that I have enough knowledge to become dangerous with. When we talk about this management plan, what my understanding is that there is an integration of the two models that will then give us a process by which to evaluate how well we are doing with the tools we are utilizing to meet our pollutant load reductions. I'm hoping I'm describing that correctly. What we feel is that we really, because there are problems with the tools that are presented, and granted, we know and understand we have the option to present new tools. However, we have yet heard or do not know by what criteria are those tools, those proposed new tools, going to be evaluated. We don't have that information. And in the meantime, if we do not wait until we have this integration of the models happening, we then have the black and white of the permit that has been adopted. We then engage in investing funds to try to implement the permit and implement processes that perhaps we don't need to go through. So in other words, to answer Dr. Horn's question, is by adopting a permit now without getting further clarification about the importance or the effectiveness of these tools, we are engaging in processes and the money clock starts ticking. And what we might find is that we are investing money in processes that really aren't going to get us to where we need to get. And I may have botched up that understanding, but I have my staff here to help translate what I just said.
One comment that was made earlier, that I just want to clarify that, and I don't know if Dr. Moore or somebody said something about opening up the TMDL. And I heard, I believe you say that that is not your intent to, because the TMDL, I was on the board during that whole 10 years, and there's so much money spent, and it's not perfect, but it is what we have, and I think it'll get better over time. So
I think that you heard in our opening comments that, in our opening comments of the board, of our support of what the intent of the TMDL is. Our intent is not to go backwards. Our intent is to go forward in a cost-effective way to reach the goals of Lake Clarity here. What my staff is telling me, what our staff, Eldorado County staff, is telling me, and I'm going to tell you that they are top-notch scientists, engineers. They have been studying and working at this problem, looking at this issue for years. They have walked these projects. They have walked our projects. They have given me information. And I have all the confidence in the world in their expertise. As a matter of fact, I would put them up against anybody. But what our staff is trying to say, yes, we need to move forward, but there are some very essential tools by which we are going to measure our progress that need clarity, that need some sort, and even though it might be a little bit out of sorts, we need to know how better to utilize those tools to get to the end, to get to the effect that we want, which is lay clarity.
Has your staff given you an estimate of what kind of time they think is needed to do this collaboration or make these tools better to move forward?
How long the program takes to develop? The question.
So if you need to come forward.
They're telling me about a year, but I'll pass it on to them.
Well, actually, I have a question for the supervisor, if I may.
Sure.
Which is, okay, in this process, the regulator has prepared a tool that it has approved and said you can use this tool or you can develop another one. That performs in an equivalent way. So as a supervisor, and I'm using that term both in the capitalized form and the small lowercase.
You guys are a boss?
Yes.
Okay.
How do you, in tight fiscal times, why does it make sense to spend any of your staff time developing an alternative tool when you are being handed one that is approved?
Except that from what my staff is telling me is some of those tools in the toolbox aren't effective and have proven ineffectiveness.
Okay,
I just learned about the BMP ramp.
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble following that logic.
Okay.
Can I try to answer?
Sure.
Basically, we'd like to do our homework on the front end to develop tools that are meaningful to us, that we trust, that we know can work. That will ultimately save us time down the road. For instance, the BMP RAM. We have an existing BMP RAM database. It wasn't called a RAM, but that's essentially what it is, that we've developed over the last 10 years. It houses all of our infrastructure, every piece of infrastructure in El Dorado County in the Lake Tahoe Basin, every pipe, drop inlet, sediment trap. And continuing on, we're going to be forced or asked to use a BMP RAM, which is an entirely different database. So we had originally asked it, well, we don't want to use a newly developed database that doesn't work as well. We already have an existing database tool that we've worked with, that we know that works well and meets the intent of what you're asking us to do. So why should we use this other tool? That's why language was placed in there that we could establish an equivalent method. Therefore, we're happy that language is in here. What we need is more time than 3 months. And the permit does say that we have to use these tools, the BMP RAM and the Road RAM, until we receive approval that our equivalent method is accepted. So until we can work on that, we have to continue to use the BMP RAM. So we'll be using two different databases as we continue forward here until we develop our equivalent method. We're concerned about that.
But that is your choice. That isn't something that's required by the permit.
Our position is, why would we use a lesser database, which we know has flaws, as opposed to one that works well?
That is your position. It is your choice.
I guess I can't argue. That is our choice. It's a choice we're making, and we see a very valid reason for making that choice. The Road RAM, we have a lot of concerns about as well. We've talked about in many comment letters to you. We do want to establish an equivalent tool to that as well. There's safety issues with getting out on the roadways and performing some of the inspections. Some lack of peer review on that tool specifically, especially outside the basin. There isn't anything that exists like it. And it will take a significant amount of time to perform. And we do have substantial concerns about that. And we do want to develop an equivalent method to do that and prove to you that it can be equivalent and done safer and better. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Still a quick question.
Based on your understanding of the permit, when do you actually have to start implementing the RAMs in the field to report back to us?
Well, obviously, with the winter upon us, we won't be doing too much BMP RAM. we can do a little bit. Although with the snow that we received here in Tahoe, you can't see much. Program will...
Could you point to where in the permit is the water board requiring you to use the ramp in the field to report back to us field conditions about your project?
We will have to use it when we submit our two catchment credit schedules, which are due on March 15 of 2012. In order to fully register two catchments, which we're required to do by the permit, we have to use all the tools.
You have to propose the tools. You don't have to use them. That's my understanding. The reporting comes, in other words, my understanding of the reporting is we're only holding you accountable for credit reduction during water year 2016. That's the compliance perspective in the permit.
Well, there's the interim date.
The interim date, though, there's no compliance requirement.
But we have to do all the work.
You have to submit the catchment schedules.
We have to register everything that we've done from 2004 to today and report the estimated load reduction associated with that.
And again, those are estimates.
Well, in order to do that, we do need to utilize all the tools. And that's going to take a long time, so we need to step backwards. You know, on top of that, we'll be working on all the other things that are in here. The traditional stormwater elements, which don't deal with fine sediments, the legal authority, all the other things, the monitoring. Working on those, and on top of this, doing that interim targets.
It seems to me part of what this is doing is giving, this is a process that is giving you credit for the work that has been done since 2004.
Yes, absolutely. And we are very appreciative of that. Absolutely. We are in favor of the way that the program is trending. It does provide us more flexibility. Gets us away from effluent limits at all times to load reductions, which in theory we agree with. It's just some of this administrative stuff that hasn't been fully vetted that we'll be testing essentially in a permit. Once it's in a permit, we're held to it. That's what we have concern about. To reopen a permit, as I mentioned earlier, is much more difficult than adopting one wholeheartedly that we feel good about.
Bob, did you have something you wanted to add?
Just a couple clarifying comments. Specifically with the management system that's been referenced. I want to stress that the management system project is not intended to address the stormwater tools or otherwise integrate the stormwater tools as has been suggested. That is not the intent of that project. That project, again, is a TMDL adaptive management process by which we will account for load reductions from all sources and, more importantly, report out on progress and determine whether or not any changes in the overall TMDL program need to be conducted. I think the confusion that's arising is there is a task in the previous project for accrediting support services to better integrate stormwater tools, and that task is just getting underway. And the intent of that task is to address some of these issues that have been raised in terms of the inefficiency of some of these databases. Again, we know that some of the databases could be made more user-friendly, that our intent is to make them more user-friendly and make them more integrated to where there's not a bunch of redundancy in data entry, and that work is starting right now and will likely progress. It is actually expected to progress over the winter and wrapping up in the spring. So those refinements to those tools will be made before jurisdictions are expected to use them in any sense. I want to highlight again that the jurisdictions have had an opportunity to not only be involved in testing these tools, but they were all sat on the technical advisory committees that developed these tools. These are not water board created tools. In most cases, they were funded by other entities, and water board staff participated in their development. But Eldorado County and permittee staff were involved in the development of those tools and the testing of those tools, and are very familiar with how those tools work. So the perception that they are new and untested isn't consistent with the more than year plus that has been put into developing those tools and testing those tools in the field as part of the support services.
Bob, comment, if you would, on the Eldorado 10-year-old database and the programs that they run from it in comparison to our more recently arrived tools. And could their database be converted to be used with some more recent tools?
The short answer is yes. The database can be converted to the more recent tools to help. And we've had a lot of conversations with county staff about this. The databases that they're referencing, in my understanding and my familiarity with them, is they're very detailed. We're talking about individual drop inlets everywhere.
Right,
they measure how much sediment's in them. There's a bunch of very detailed things in there that they use to direct their maintenance actions. We're looking at more broad brush assessments of very selected facilities. We don't need to look at every drop inlet, frankly. We need to look at the big treatment facilities that are providing load reductions and use some representative sampling of the roadways. I want to again stress that the notion that the road grant is something that is dangerous and requires closure of roadways is not consistent with road grant protocols. That tool was developed explicitly to be performed without closing the road and with the safety of personnel in mind. It's been done countless times in the Tahoe Basin during its development and testing, and no one's been killed. No one has even had a close call. There's a bunch of safety protocols that are included in there. So again, I want to sort of dispel some of the perception here that putting forward untested, unsafe, invaluable, inaccurate tools. Because the tools, I'm not going to suggest they're perfect, but they do provide us with a starting place to more consistently track these important implementation data.
I guess I will just say we were involved throughout the process of developing the tools at certain key intervals. And while we were involved, we continued to provide feedback throughout that process about our concerns. And I guarantee if you look at our comment letters over the last 10 years, you will see these concerns continually documented. So because we were involved doesn't necessarily mean that all the wishes that we were asking for, and I'm not saying that we should have gotten all of them, were realized. We do have concerns about the road ramp specifically and the BMP ramp. And, you know, we could talk about this ad nauseum, so I think I'll stop at talking about the specifics of those. I think you've heard loud and clear where we're coming from on that.
Julian?
I'll start over again. For the last 20 years, we had a voyage of discovery, and now we're into the next stage of that voyage of discovery. So if I understand the permit correctly and we're able to be afforded that luxury of flexibility, then we're on to the next voyage of discovery, where use of various tools, calibrations of various models, one being the lake clarity model, one being the fluid load reduction model, and we're all in on this together. We are going to go through this process. It's just the uncertainty that we have that causes us concern. And that's like any other permit. If the last 20 years is any indication of our uncertainty and our uncomfort level, well, we put a lot of stuff in the ground, $1 billion worth of stuff. And I'll bet, as an engineer, I could probably go through a very detailed analysis on a watershed basis to show you how much sediment was taken out in those BMPs we installed for the last 20-plus years. But that's not where we're at right now. We're basically saying we don't think that all that really made a dent in the decline of Lake Clarity. Is it still declining? In fact, just recently, the Lake Clarity staff report came out and says it declined by 4 feet. And we're going, okay, how does that work? How does it come back? And I think, Dr. Warren, you mentioned a comment some time ago, and you had a question that was asked. And I'm not sure if you got your answer, but the question, if I remember the question, was you've got a Lake Clarity model, you have the land use watershed model. Those two models were used to generate and develop the TNBL. But now we're coming forward with a new model, a jurisdictional model, that's based on the same type of land use input parameters that were used for those two other models. And we're coming at it and giving you another number. And so how do those two reconcile? We'd like to know that. And I don't think that could be answered. Going to your question, can we actually come up with a solution in the next 6 months to solve that problem? I've talked to John Reuter at length. That's a very difficult equation to solve. But we'd like to be able to find our way in the voyage of discovery to figure out how close are we getting to the predictions with respect to our actual direct input. And at some point in time, we hopefully will have the predicted and the model getting pretty dang close to an error that we're comfortable with. And then that level of uncertainty doesn't wind up being back in the jurisdiction's hand is continue on and actually update and do more. So that's really the crux of the matter. We're comfortable with what our own role needs to be done with our own tools that we have at our disposal. I think a colleague mentioned our BMP tool. We've been developing that over 10 years. We're very comfortable about the output and the input of that tool to be used. And we could probably come to a consensus with your staff that says, here's the data that goes in, here's the data that comes out, and we should be able to calibrate those two and say that our tool is equivalent, or if not better, than the tool that is in the current perimeter site in the perimeter. The road ram is a different story. The road ram has not been calibrated. And we're concerned that that level of effort to go through two calibrations to find out whether this one really works, because there is flaws in all the tools and also the models. And there's a various amount of uncertainty built into all these tools and models. Even the old Lake Clarity model basically had a whisker graph. It's an air ball that said, okay, you're in this swath, we think you'll be in compliance. Yet, in the permit sense, it's black and white. 220. I need to take out 220 crits in the next 5 years. That's my compliant number. There's no air bar there. It's 220. Now, granted, the luxury in the permit was granted to us, which I appreciate, is we can come back if we find that there's problems with that number. In other words, we believe we've decided many times that the current models being used by the local jurisdictions, the three of us, pollutant load reduction model, has various flaws and error in that model that generated the number that we put in the permit. And we'd like to be able to resolve that, because there's some big problems that I believe. Connectivity is one of them. And that connectivity issue stems back to the lake model and the watershed model. Watershed model assumed that everything's connected. Well, that doesn't make any sense to me. Everything's connected? If we're basing it on an annual average, how can that be? A 100-year event? You bet. A 50-year event? Problem. But on an average annual sense, how can that be? How can everything be connected? So we'd like to be able to resolve that conundrum. And I think we can, through the voyage of discovery with respect to this permit. So that's kind of where I'd like to end.
Thank you.
Any questions? Yeah, Joe?
Well, just a comment. Maybe you can clarify my understanding. But I was under the impression that Supervisor Santiago indicated that the county wasn't questioning the TMDL. And yet I heard about half of your just recent presentation question the models that the TMDL is based on. So I guess I'm trying to reconcile your presentation with the county's policy position about the TMDL. And I think that's one of the issues that we're having in this dialogue that we've been having with you and your staff over time, is we're trying to focus moving forward, and we keep getting distracted, frankly, looking backward to the validity of the TMDL, the models that we're based on, and the credit for the load reductions needed to achieve the kinds of clarity we need. So I'm confused, I guess, yeah, listening to what you've said and listening to what Supervisor Santiago said about the TMDL, and it's like you're not questioning.
I get your confusion, and I apologize for that. I think what I'm trying to say, the end of the question. Not to relive the TMDL, because I think there was a lot of time, efforts, and numbers spent. I think the chair said it well, that there's uncertainty amongst all the data collected to date. Is it perfect? No. Can we live with it today during the permit process and doing the monitoring and collecting data that we are comfortable with and moving forward? You bet. That's what we should do. We should still figure out why it is what it is. be able to come back to you at some point in time and say that I believe by doing X, Y, Z that we've met the permit condition. But to get X, Y, Z, as you heard from my board, it's going to take a lot of effort and cost. And we're just, at this point in time, it's a difficult thing to move forward without a complete comprehensive management plan in place, because what my job is, once I have that plan in place, is to go back to my board and vet out all that stuff through the CAO, etc., to say, yes, in order to do X, Y, Z, I need you board to support me with a $2 million program. And if they say, no, we'll give you half, okay, well, that changes my strategy. Now I have to look at X, Y, Z and figure out how much of X, how much of Y, and how much of Z I'm going to do in the course of this permit that gives you, your board, the answers that you're looking for expectations of the permit. And that's a, I can't reconcile that yet. And that's, but that's my job. My job is to come with that resolution.
Again, we have to be very clear in our use of terms here. So when you use the term comprehensive management plan, you are not talking about the management system that Bob was talking about earlier.
That's correct. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
So what do you mean by comprehensive management plan?
So in the permit, we're required to update our stormwater management plan.
Okay.
That plan is going to be very comprehensive. Has to be. Based on all the conditions that we have to come forward with. And we'll have to go through the process, the public process, CEQA process, to go through and adopt that plan. Now, hopefully it's an amendment, and there's not too many chapters we have to add, but nonetheless, it will have to be amended. So that's going to take some time to get through that process for our comprehensive stormwater management plan, county of Oklahoma.
But you have a stormwater management plan now.
That's correct.
So you're really amending and updating that management plan. Existing stormwater management plan fit the terms of this new permit?
Yes.
So you're not starting from scratch?
No. But it is, it's still an effort to get through.
Harold, is there any dates on when that is due? Or is that just 2016?
Yeah, the plan that he's referencing, the pollutant load reduction plan and the stormwater management plan are both due on March 15th, 2013.
Any other questions?
Let me ask just one other, if I could. And I think, you know, what you've said as a manager of this program is very important. That you need to be able to go to your policymakers and your decision makers on budget to let them know what it costs to comply with the permit. Without going through that exercise of developing the pollutant load reduction plan, the stormwater management plan, you have no way of telling them what the cost of this program needs to be or should be.
That's the need to delay the permit so I can find that out.
And if the cost of the program is three times as much, then what you're really asking the board to do then is to delay implementation of the permit consistent with the existing TMDL.
In essence, yes.
So really what you're suggesting, I guess, is let El Dorado County figure out what they're willing to spend on this program, and then you're asking the board to adopt a permit that's consistent with the amount of funds that the county is willing to put into the program.
We would like that, but we know that's not really fair to ask.
But it sounds like that's what you're asking, is you want to know how much it costs, how much the county is willing to devote to it, to use that information to hopefully convince the board that that should be the scope of the permit that El Dorado is required to apply.
And set aside, so the last permit we went through, I don't think it's changed much relative to the process and the voyage of discovery to figure out what that permit is going to cost us. The first time that permit came out in the 80s, we had to do the same thing. We had to go through and list all the things that are in this permit and figure out what we need to do to comply and what is the cost of implementation of that one. So we've got a lot of information. Now, granted, we have done a lot of work amongst the entire body that represents Tahoe, regulatory, funding, and implementing. And that's a good thing. You know, we've sat in many meetings, we've talked about various things that relate to water quality and how we can connect everything together. We went through the SWIC process that basically was developed for purposes of figuring out what's the process we're going to take to evaluate and effectively select the correct alternative to meet the goals of the water quality program. That was a good thing. It was very painful. And we spent a lot of money going through that process. And at the end of that process, we learned a lot. We learned that we don't have a section in that SWIC document that really is a good tool to evaluate BMPs with respect to cost-benefit ratio. We struggled with that. I think that's a universal struggle amongst a lot of jurisdictions in the state and the nation. It's very difficult to figure out what your cost-benefit ratio is on an individual BMP setting a goal. So we spent a lot of effort on that. And I'm not asking, or I should not ask this board, to give me something, a permit that I've written to give back to you so I can be accepted into the group at my cost. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. You've given us a permit. You've given us conditions to meet the permit. You've given us flexibility within the permit to go through the voyage of discovery to figure out what's the best tool, model. And at the end of the day, we'd like to be able to know, is it working? That was what we struggled with for the last 20 years. Is it working? And the answer came back, no. And the answer was from the leg model and the Psyche disc samples. So that uncertainty, and again, it goes back to conversations I've had with the scientific community, John Mueller especially. What component of that foot that's declining is contributing or has been contributed from various land uses that we have control of? And what is not that? In other words, what percent of that foot that declines every year is really the jurisdiction's responsibility? I'm not sure we can answer that question, but we'd like to know. So that when we know we're giving you the number, we can say that 1% of that foot that's now hopefully going up in a better direction is us. And we made a difference. And we know it's working. So that the life of the Basin Plan Amendment 20 years from now, at the end of that life, which is a third of the way through the Lake Clarity Challenge, can be met and achieved. If not, then we do it all over again.
And I guess, Mr. Quinn, I guess I would argue that the whole purpose of the TMDL was to do exactly that, to demonstrate through scientific research, through modeling that was peer-reviewed, was validated, where the pollutants are coming from that are causing the decline in Lake Clarity. We know that information. That was the total basis of the TMDL. And now you're suggesting to this board that we don't know. So I guess I come back to my same question. It seems to me you're arguing the validity of the TMDL, that we don't know anything about what's causing the decline in Lake Clarity, as opposed to the issue of compliance with the permit conditions. And again, it just seems to come full circle. The discussion continues to come back to, we just don't trust the TMDL. It's got to be wrong. We're trying to move to the next step. We've gone through the TMDL process. We think it's a great document. We're still looking at adaptively managing it. We know there's improvements that can be made. But it does define, from our perspective, where we believe the pollutants are coming from and what control mechanisms we think can be appropriate to those different sources. And that's the whole purpose of the permit, then, is to start to implement those required pollutant reductions from those various sources, in this case the urban, so we start to meet those load reductions that the scientists tell us are absolutely necessary to achieve better clarity.
Yeah, and not challenging 72% comes up. The issue we've always faced is if at the end of the permit life, that all jurisdictions by model, by use of tools, have shown the number that says you're in compliance, yet the lake still declines and clears, then what happened? What's next? What did we miss? And our concern as a jurisdiction is, does that mean that we now have to ramp up further to comply with meeting the local jurisdiction reduction on fine sediment to reverse the trend, which we have no control over?
And I guess I'd respond, Mr. Kleiman, that that's what the whole management system that we talked about is here for, is to tell us how what we're seeing with the load reductions that we're starting to track, have systems to do, relate to what we predict with lake clarity as a result of those activities. And I guess I just have to say something for the sake of the board members and everybody in the audience. When you look at 5 years down, and let's assume all these credits are met, that doesn't automatically indicate that that year will show a certain level of clarity. Because again, it's an annual average over a long term. And the clarity in that year is highly dependent on the amount of runoff that the lake sees that year. So looking for a direct correlation, and I've said this to the supervisors to many meetings, I have been personally asked by Senator Feinstein, can you tell me what this dollar is going to give me in terms of lake clarity 5 years from now? And the answer is absolutely no. I can't predict that, because nobody can predict the weather. And that's why the annual average is factored into this process, that we know over time that the lake will respond positively to specific load reductions on an average annual basis. But to try to correlate directly a load reduction 5 years from now with lake clarity 5 years from now, not quite a good correlation. Yes, we'll look at it and we'll see how the progress is made over time. That's the purpose of adaptive management. If we're not making the kind of progress that we think we should be making, we'll look at it and say, why not? If we're making more progress than we thought we would make given that load reduction, we will look and see what's going on. What can we do then, you know, looking forward? That's why the adaptive management is built into this. That's why federal funding has been put to an adaptive management program, the management system. We are committed to that.
Right. I agree with you. It's just the uncertainty causes angst amongst the permittees. And if we were afforded the same flexibility in the variability of that uncertainty of the weather pattern, et cetera, and in other words, at the end of the permit life, we got 219 credits. According to what we've been hearing is that we're in violation. Yet, there's a lot of uncertainty and variability in the model that's coming back telling me whether this predicted node is actually doing anything. So, yeah.
So, as I understand it, your job in this permit is to get credits for removing a certain number of particles and reducing a certain amount of nitrogen and phosphorus. If in 2016 the SECI disk number comes back and we do not see the level of improvement in the lake that we are expecting, that's not your problem. Because weather has more of an impact on SECI depth measurements than the reduction in pollutant load.
Do we get that in writing in the permit? That that's not our problem?
I mean, you're being held to particles, nitrogen, and phosphorus, not second death. Because, I mean, John Reuter is the first person to say there's a lot of noise in that data. And, I mean, it's not correct. I mean, I think a more accurate message is that we haven't seen any improvement for all the money we've spent in this basin. A more correct statement is the rate of decline in clarity is decreasing. And that's that is statistically backed up. I mean, and I can tell you, it took UC Davis years and hours of conversation and debate to be comfortable with putting a curve through those data points rather than a straight line.
Yeah, and once in a while, we'll have an anomaly like last year.
Yeah.
A 4-foot drop.
Questions here? Right, thank you very much. The next card I have is Steve Teixeira here.
Yes, sir.
Steve had a letter that he wanted to send to the board, but because it was past the comment period, I did not accept that letter, but he does have the right to read it in the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, and ladies and gentlemen, for the record, Steve Teixeira with Sustainable Community Advocates. I do want to read this letter into the record. Thank you. Sustainable Community Advocates has had an opportunity to review the comment letter submitted for your consideration on this matter. These include the November 2nd letter signed by Supervisor Jennifer Montgomery, District 5, Placer County, Supervisor Ray Dent from El Dorado County, and City of South Utah Mayor Pro Tem Claire Fortier. Also, the November 15th letter from Patrick Wright, Executive Director of the California Tile Conservancy. We've also looked at all the technical comments submitted by each of the affected jurisdictions. In summary, we believe that there's sufficient number of technical issues that could benefit from an additional period of discussion, clarifications, and mutual understandings. The research and development of the Lake Tahoe TMDL has been a long and complex road, as you all know, and some additional time trying to clarify and resolve some specific issues of concern by those responsible for permit implementation seems a reasonable request. I found the letter from Patrick Wright particularly compelling in terms of looking at the really big picture. We joined with the Conservancy in urging Lahan to work with TRPA, the Conservancy, the Tahoe Resource Conservation District, and other appropriate federal, state, and local agencies, and the science community in developing a comprehensive and collaborative TMDL implementation strategy. And there were several items that Mr. Wright listed in his letter. I'll just mention a couple of those. Development of a robust process to prioritize future projects. Development of a TMDL funding strategy. Development and implementation of a comprehensive, realistic, effective, and sustainable monitoring program. Long-term maintenance and ownership of TMDL tools and models. Improving the integration of public and private sector BMPs, best water, best management practices. Planning for a comprehensive evaluation of the TMDL implementation program at the end of the NPDES permit period, the new permit period. Establishment of forums for ongoing communications to support mid-program adjustments, and consistent reporting to state and federal legislators of the progress and accomplishments of the TMDL and its partners in meeting the clarity challenge. Mr. Wright said something toward the end of his letter that I wanted to highlight as well. We believe that the TMDL NPDES permits should not be developed in isolation, but as part of a more comprehensive strategy that addresses the priorities, issues, and concerns of local governments, TRPA, and other agencies and stakeholders. And I would add to that that I believe that private sector representatives should also be included in developing the collaborative strategy, as private sector folks will also be paying for part of this. So thank you for your consideration. I would just say that listening to the discussions and understanding the situation, I would urge the board to think about setting a very specific time frame for any delay, or I would say not adoption today, a specific time frame and a specific set of the technical issues that are agreed to be resolved. I think there are some. I know your situation is this can't be put off forever and you want to start things. I think the folks here want to start them, but there does sound to be a couple of issues that we would all benefit from clarifying and having a mutual understanding of joint focus. Again, thank you for taking me out of turn this week.
You bet. Thank you. The next card I have is Sarah Johnson, City of South Lake Tahoe.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Hussan Johnson, Director of Engineering for the City of South Lake Tahoe. I appreciate your opportunity, appreciate the opportunity to comment today on the proposed draft permit that is before you. I'd like to acknowledge Wahonton's cooperative and responsiveness in addressing issues with the City of South Lake Tahoe. We have been in discussions over this specific permit language now for approximately 5 months. It has been an iterative process. There's been a lot of direct communication, and we appreciate the modifications that have been made to the permit language with respect to our concerns. I'd also like to confirm the city's commitment to moving forward with the concepts presented in the TNDO with respect to reducing pollutant load discharge to Lake Tahoe. The city has been embracing this pollutant load reduction concept now for the past number of years. We've been implementing difficult projects directly connected to Lake Tahoe, immediately adjacent to Lake Tahoe with high pollutant loads, the El Tahoe erosion control projects, the Bijou erosion control projects. These projects have been presented significant more challenges, oftentimes with minimal land ownership by the city, but we see the benefit in moving forward in this direction. We want to make this clear as we present our concerns. Additionally, the city has been endorsing the efforts to increase sweeping in the basin. We've been operating and purchasing high-efficiency sweepers. We have spent city general funds on constructing capital improvements to optimize our operations and maintenance of those sweepers. So there are certainly concepts within this that we are on board with and moving forward with. That said, we are requesting a delay in the permit adoption before you here today in accordance with our November 30th letter as a result of the number of issues we identified in that letter with respect to policy and funding. The first one is essentially funding feasibility. I'd like to read a quote from one of the peer reviews on the TMDL, Dr. William M. Lewis, who commented on TMDL Basin Plan Amendment and Technical Documents. Dr. Lewis's comments were, "My overall concern about the implementation phase of source control is its enormous cost. Given the financial realities of the current economy, it might be good to have a companion document of small size outlining the results that could be obtained for expenditures of 50% or 25% of the proposed expenditure. Thus, in the event of financial hardship, source control could proceed and could still be meaningful." I think that this quote accurately summarizes the situation that we're in today and what you're hearing from our co-permittees at the other jurisdictions. The city worked with Lahont staff through the Basin Plan Amendment to have the following language inserted. Should funding and implementation constraints impact the ability to meet load reduction milestones, the regional boards will consider amending the implementation and load reduction schedules. To speak to Bob's point about we're at a bare minimum right now with the permit, we understand a bare minimum to represent a $500,000 to $1 million annual administration cost. That is a bare minimum that is likely infeasible for the jurisdictions to accomplish at this point. And especially in light of our reduction of future federal and state assistance available to local jurisdictions. There's been a lot of discussion about the jurisdiction's requirement to pursue a local funding mechanism. However, everybody in this room is familiar with the fact that even if funding is sought, it is subject to a vote and not in the ultimate control of the jurisdiction. So I just would like to make that point very clear. I think what we're discussing today is the feasibility of funding the permit as written, and there are some grave concerns with whether or not we can meet that requirement. The second comment we'd like to make is more of a policy comment, and it's similar to a lot of comments that have already been echoed. It's relative to integration of the developed tools, specifically the rapid assessment method, that are currently undergoing streamlining that we understand through the TMDL management system project. When I refer to the management system project, I'm referring to the effort that Bob described that in the next 6 months, tools to measure success with the Lake Clarity program will be looked at, will be streamlined, will be looked at for efficiency to determine whether or not this process can be maximized and ensure best use of limited resources. There's a lot of concern with us moving forward with the permit as written, knowing that this process is ongoing. I believe that was thoroughly vetted by the county and the city supports that stance. A second question is the long-term management plan for the data that is generated through this permit. What is the process for compiling and reviewing the data to inform the model? Who will be doing this who will undertake this effort. I think that our refinement of the model is only as strong as our management of that data and the feedback loop into it. Additionally, it seems as though there is certainly a lot of uncertainty with the tools that have been presented thus far. I believe the VMP RAM came out approximately a year ago and allowed some time for familiarity. But I understand that the road RAM was just released within the past 6 months, and subsequently we've gone into a permit evaluation cycle since then, which has probably not allowed as much familiarity as we would like to be comfortable and be able to quantify what the effort is associated with using these tools. Likely that may provide some context for the wide variation in costs you're hearing for implementation here today. Finally, and I think very importantly, is the city's stance that we feel there needs to be much stronger coordination between interbasin agencies on TMDL implementation. Since 1986, the EIP was the leading funding and regulatory program for water quality improvements in the Tahoe Basin. Construction of EIP projects historically has been the measure of water quality performance for local agencies. It's necessary for local agencies to have a high level of EIP project delivery in order to obtain development rights regulated by TRPA. In 1992, the first NPDES Phase 1 municipal permit was issued in the Tahoe Basin. Six traditional minimum control measures provided a second set of stormwater regulatory thresholds for jurisdictional compliance. Subsequently, 10 years later, we are now facing TMDL. The addition of the TMDL requirements will be a third set of regulatory thresholds for compliance. I think within this process, there is an opportunity for efficiency. There's an opportunity for TRPA to work cooperatively with Wuhan and examine the policies and look to streamline the existing regulation to meet the TMDL pollutant load reduction based objectives that I believe are not just Lahont's objectives alone. The TRPA is currently going through the regional plan update. The city understands that there is a January deadline for a water quality update through that process. We'd like to see the agencies working together to confirm that the policies being developed through the RPU and the TMDL are consistent with each other. There's a number of issues within that, such as the private property BMP retrofit program and the EIP linkage to building allocations that we see as an opportunity to address. And finally, we'd like to formalize the roles of other agencies in the TMDL context in order to leverage the resources of those agencies appropriately. The current permit essentially delegates that responsibility to local jurisdiction. I think there's an opportunity to do it more efficiently up front by close coordination amongst the agencies to maximize the resources of the RCDs and conservancy and other agencies interested in supporting this process. Other concerns that the city has with the current permit is the lack of emphasis on the nearshore effort and what might be a time frame for addressing this issue. And then the city is certainly interested in incentivizing redevelopment. Our largest constraint within the jurisdiction is essentially the built environment. And we see opportunity encouraging private investment to contribute to the clarity challenge and to pollutant load reduction. This might be out of the Lahont's purview, but I think through close coordination with TRPA and the RPU, there might be opportunities to incentivize to provide policy level incentives for green redevelopment. So based on these general comments, we would like to encourage the board to consider these and to delay the permit at this time until further coordination with other agencies in the basin.
Thank you. Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. Mm-hmm. What kind of delay are you asking for, and what are you going to see? What do you see as having to take place inside that time frame in order to go forward?
I think that I'm not certain that we can be specific on a time delay. I think that what we're just not seeing is a lot of communication between the regulatory agencies here. I mean, with the RPU process ongoing and this permit and the permit adoption in parallel, it seems as though these two processes should be linked. So as I mentioned in my discussion, we understand that there's a January deadline for the water quality aspects and the TRPA RPU. It seems like that plan update should at least be in close coordination with this permit adoption to make sure that the policies are consistent and provide clear direction to the jurisdictions.
I don't have any quarrel with that, but the board is going to have to take some kind of action. The board, I don't think, at least I don't think, that the board can delay action into infinity. And therefore, I'm really looking for some help from those who are seeking a delay to clarify what kind of delay they're seeking and what it is that they want to see happen. And if those things don't happen, what would your expectation be at the end of the delay period?
Well, I think if those things, if there would be no coordination that occurred, we'd be back in this exact same situation, regardless of what the time frame would be. I think if, ideally, again, I don't know that I can specify a time frame. I think there's a number of moving targets in this, but the regional plan update, I believe, has a deadline of December 2013, if I'm correct.
2012.
Oh, I'm sorry, 2012. Thank you. So that at least is some sort of time certain. You understand that you're going to have one agency adopting a policy change at that point. That seems like that would provide some sort of time-specific deadline for another agency policy change. But I think it goes beyond just TRPA. There's other players in this. The Conservancy was mentioned. They've been a huge player in the EIP in providing support and funding to local jurisdiction. The RCDs have been a large player in the TRPA private property DMP implementation and the jurisdiction EIP programs, and maybe those roles are shifting, and maybe they should shift. And is it the jurisdiction's burden to navigate what each of the roles of those agencies are to support them on an individual basis? And is that the most efficient process? It seems like there could be some sort of interagency dialogue that could formulate that and support the jurisdictions.
So, in looking for an answer to my question, it would appear that the an answer is a delay of a year at a minimum.
I don't know that I'm being specific in that. I'm just suggesting what the time frames are for the other policy, for the completion of the other policy documents.
I know, but I'm suggesting to you that if you were sitting in this seat and you were to make a motion to the board that the board delay action on this item, somewhere in there, you're going to have to say delay action on this item until either these things happen or this date. I'm asking you to help me by telling me either what those things are or the date.
Okay, well, what those things are that we're asking for specifically is coordination with the regional plan update process.
What does that mean, though? What does coordination mean? What's the outcome that would tell you that you're satisfied that coordination had taken place?
The outcome, I believe, are two regulatory policies that dovetail. Two regulatory policies that have very similar goals and objectives set forth and desired deliverables to the local jurisdictions. Lahontan is telling the local jurisdictions, this is your toolbox. You determine how you meet the clarity challenges, and yet we still have allocations linked to delivering EIP projects in TRPA. These are discrepancies that I think behoove all of us to resolve in advance of forming two policy documents that don't necessarily sync.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Thank you. The next card I have is Ken Grimm, County of Placer.
Good afternoon, Chairman and Board members. My name is Ken Grimm. I'm the County of Placer, actually Department of Public Works. And today what we're actually asking you for is to include our proposed revisions that were, I believe, included in your packet that we sent in last week as part of any permit that you consider doing today. I think we propose that based on our, I believe, our common objectives of cleaning up the lake, protecting the lake, but also I hope we share the idea of doing it in a cost-effective and a sustainable manner. Money is relevant, particularly today during our Great Recession. We think it needs to be relevant. We do share some of the global concerns with our municipal colleagues. We are concerned about what happens if we don't meet all of the goals. I think Robert sent up a slide and showed how we would be subject to fines or potentially subject to fines. But really, we want to work with you. Our board wants to work with Lahontan and all the regional stakeholders to come up with a plan that works. We want to advance water quality. So our concerns really with the permit are this idea of a 200 to 300% cost increase in the administrative burden of doing this program. That's not counting the capital dollars, which are much, much higher, also at a time when federal and state dollars that we've been using to implement these projects is drying up. We're also concerned about the cost effectiveness of some of the proposed elements, particularly the intensity with which some of the elements are meant to be done. Some of the stormwater management plan, series of inspections, ongoing inspections that we've been doing for years, and really getting not a lot of benefit. We're not saying get rid of those. We want to start reducing the burden of that. Take that time spent on all those inspections we're doing and maybe do more things that are actually going to go clean up water. The duplicative permitting processes. Permit includes where we're going to review the any project that comes forth, much like TRPA does, your board does in issuing permits to individual projects. No reason for three of us to do the exact same reviews of a project. It's just not cost effective. We want to move those resources to other things like implementing the TMDL. There's extensive monitoring that's required of the permit. Much of it, we believe, non-TMDL implementation related and much more scientific in nature. We want to be able to focus more on the implementation of the things that you've asked us to do. And in addition to that, the administrative mapping and reporting requirements, a lot of effort required there. Again, we don't want to get rid of it. We want to reduce that burden so that resource can go to the things, again, that are actually cleaning up water, actually implementing the TMDL, doing projects out on the street. Our revisions really are trying to lower the cost to stay within our resources. Very difficult times. Money is important. In our county, services are being cut around the board. Even with that being said, the permit that I'll say we offered up with our revisions will still make us be paying more money than what we're doing administering the program today. More money than what we're doing today. I think our board is willing to accept that, but not to a 200-300% increase. We just can't manage that in these times. We want to focus on activities that directly affect water quality and implementation of the TMDL. We want less resources on the administration and the elements that we believe are less cost effective, and I think have been proven that through the previous term of the our stormwater management plan on things that we've spent a lot of money on without a lot of return. So the differences included in our revisions, less of the scientific monitoring unless we're able to get grant funding from the outside. What we do want to do and where we think we have an obligation is this permit requires us to develop some strategies and then implement those strategies. We want to spend our monitoring efforts validating those strategies that you've asked us to develop. Not necessarily validating the entire TMDL, but those elements that we're required to implement. We want to, again, focus on the effectiveness of our TMDL strategies. On the catchment registration, there are some clarifications that we're looking for. The current permit says we'll start with registering two of these catchments, and then we'll do whatever it's going to take to implement the TMDL. Well, we've been fortunate. We've already done some work, and I think Robert mentioned it, our TMDL strategy report. We're going to have to do at least 15 catchments in the first 5 years, at least, if not more. There's no way we're going to be able to do all the work required to register them and keep them current in a 5-year time period. So what we've offered up is we'll go and do 7. The first 2, just like you've asked, and we'll do at least another 5 over the course of the permit. But for those credits we need, we'll still do all the things that are required to get the water cleaner, but we want to use some extrapolation methods on those 7 that we do register to be able to get credit for those others that we may not have the resources to register within the time frame. We also want to rid of the duplicative permitting reporting. I think we just gave a couple of examples there about how TRPA, Lahontan, both give permits. They want us to review the projects to do the exact same review. We don't want that duplicative effort. When it comes to the stormwater management plan, we're talking about retaining all the elements that have been required by EPA. We're not talking about getting rid of any of them. But we do want to have that discussion about doing many of them with less effort than we used to do. Again, these ideas of these inspections that we continue to do and spend hours in the field looking at things. And then we'll come back and spend hours writing up reports to prove that we looked at those things. And in the end, nothing changed with what was going on out in the field. So, you know, in conclusion, we believe we can do better together. We want to spend more time, instead of fighting and arguing over this, actually doing things to implement what we think needs to be done. The TMDL is not perfect. I think I heard that said, and I agree with that. And it is the best thing that we have today. We may not be able to meet its goals in the long term, but we want to focus on doing a few things well, including the TNPL, rather than this vast array of monitoring and inspections and everything else where we can't divide our resources that much and expect to do all of those things well at all. We believe our proposed revisions provide 90 to 95% of what was previously drafted, or at least of those core things. We're all kind of resetting and balancing our priorities in these difficult times. We believe water quality is important. I think that's true, and I hope we're showing that by the fact that we're talking about spending more money than we did last year. But we also hope that you can understand that we have a lot of services we provide. Water quality is just one of those. And at times when public safety, even nowadays, is getting cuts, we need to be able to balance those priorities. So we need to find that balance. We do request that you include our revisions in any permit that you consider. If you want to have more time to continue this hearing to have more discussion, I believe the discussions we've had with staff have been centered because money is not relevant, because they've been told that it isn't relevant, or they don't believe that it's relevant. If we were to continue this, I think it would be important, if you agree that money is relevant to some concern, that your staff know and understand that. I think with that, we could come to some productive discussions that could get us much closer to a permit that works. There was a question that came up about Placer County saying it costs $75,000 versus the $2 million. Important to clarify that. I think the numbers Robert was talking about came out of one of our studies. It's our TMDL strategy study. Actually not required, I think, for a year or two, but we started that. We're trying to make that effort to come through with that. That $75,000 was, first off, a five-year average of just one element, registering the catchments that are required as part of the TMDL. Not all the ones we necessarily thought we needed, but an assumption was made about how many we would do and how much that would cost. That was a five-year average. So at $75,000, it started at zero. And I don't know what the interim numbers were. Zero, 50, 75, and I think in year five, it's actually $175,000 a year for just that one element. There are many elements. So the money is a lot of money. I don't believe our numbers come up as high as $2 million, but it is substantial, and it is approaching $1 million even in our numbers. And that's not including the increased maintenance responsibilities and the increased capital expenditures, which are actually the things that are going to clean up the water. Everything else is just proving how we've cleaned up the water. So again, I'm happy to answer any questions. We hope that you take our revisions into account, and we're also happy to have further discussions if we believe that will be fruitful. But again, my key belief is that you've got to believe that the money is important in order to have future discussions be fruitful.
Any questions?
Thank you very much. The last card I have is Jack Landy from US EPA.
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Jack Landy. I'm here today with representing the NPDES Permits Office of the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. EPA believes that the concerns we raised about the first public draft permit have been largely addressed in the latest draft, and we appreciate the efforts of board staff to address them. Therefore, we support and strongly recommend adoption of the permit as currently drafted. We've provided in writing several suggestions for relatively minor revisions and clarifications that will strengthen Tahoe TMDL implementation provision, which I'd be happy to elaborate on if you'd like. While some have stated that the permit is overly burdensome and imposes basic stormwater program elements that are unnecessary in the Tahoe Basin, we've worked hard with Water Board staff to make these less onerous and more flexible than even the existing permit requirements, let alone what most other California MS4 permits require. Further delay in adopting this permit is unwarranted for a number of reasons, we believe. Several draft permits have already been distributed, providing local jurisdictions ample opportunity to negotiate refinements that address their concerns about the cost and administrative burden of compliance. And the TMDL management system project, just getting underway now that you've heard about, I believe will benefit from the experience gained and the understanding from permit implementation. So this project, as you've heard described, to adaptively manage TMDL implementation to improve the processes, but not to fundamentally revisit the TMDL in a way that I believe will cause this permit to substantively change in any way. And I think actually getting underway with implementation will provide invaluable support to that project. As such, we again urge the board to adopt the draft permit. Regional Administrator Jared Blumenfeld has stated that this permit is a critical first step in implementing the TMDL, which he firmly believes needs to get underway as soon as possible. The TMDL itself was the result of a lengthy and thorough analysis, which EPA supported and enthusiastically had approved earlier this year. Thanks, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from anyone? Hearing none. Thank you. Yes, you have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. I think the answer, Commissioner, is the Commissioner, the Director.
Board member.
Question about time. I don't think we're looking so much for time as we are looking for your board to direct your staff to listen to what we have to say. I think they've been hard at foot putting this permit forward. And they, in my opinion, just kind of shut off after a while because it is vast. And the EPA guy just said, we don't want it to change. And I think the staff has shut down what the locals are trying to tell you. So it's not time. It's probably more of a direction that, hey, take a listen to what the locals have to say. And come back and we'd like a year, but we'll take 6 months. I don't think we need to belabor this question too much longer. But I do think we'd like you to have some ideas, and that's the common thing. So with that, thank you, Mr. Chair.
If I could respond, Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
When I read this permit, I see a lot of flexibility. I see that the local permittees are given a lot of latitude about what foods they use, what strategies they develop,
That's right.
I'm having a hard time hearing anything specific that would be gained by delaying. There's certainly a lot that can be gained by more conversation and coordination and exchanging information, but that can continue after the permit, and it must continue after the permit is adopted. So,
Dr. Hartz, if nothing else I've taken from this meeting today, I have gathered some reassurance from your board of a willingness to reopen. And to discuss after the permit. I didn't know if that was a function or something that you folks did on a regular basis.
We said that when we adopted this.
I understand. This first, and I've read, and I get my staff reports, and I have not had the pleasure of sitting here listening to you folks. So I am a little reassured, and it takes some solace in your words that you would reopen and let this adjust. That was a large concern of ours. But we are concerned of cementing in the permit and something changes. We are worrywarts by our nature. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Anything else from the from staff? From the public? Okay, we'll take about a 5 minute break. 10 minute break, yes. We'll do that. Come back here.